Good morning, world. What a privilege to be alive, and a special privilege to be sharing with us on this platform. You know, Matthew chapter 13, verses 16 to 17 state that blessed are your eyes, for they see, and blessed for your ears, that they hear. Because verse 17 says, for truly many righteous people and prophets long to see what you see, but they did not get to see it. Many long to hear these things, but they could not hear. And so on that note, I welcome you to this special day. Just so you know that knowledge is running through and through in arithmetic progression, but we believe that God's word will run through in geometric progression.
Amen.
We know that as the waters cover the sea, God's word will cover the whole earth. Amen. And so this is the day to be alive, because Amen. We know that there's going to be demonstrations of the Spirit at this time. So we won't be saying that we don't know how long, we don't see our signs anymore, because this is the time for express demonstration of the Spirit. And so we are welcoming you to capacity building. We are welcoming you to a place where we are going to strengthen your faith and weaken your doubt, where you are going to increase the room, make room for much more. Because now, in this day, there won't be any showers of blessings coming down in trickles. We are talking about downpour. We are talking about much more. So prepare yourself for much more this morning. And it's that same tradition. We are using the word of God as an hammer to crush down every edifice, every structure that is built on ignorance, on all these rhetorical rhythms or main tradition that is running contrary to the word of God. Mm-hmm. As we started yesterday we talked about the popular words, parlance in Christendom, where they talk that God said it, I believe it, that settles it. But yesterday we questioned that
using
statement.
Abraham's life.
We questioned that statement. Does it really settle it? And if you have not listened to that, you really need to find time today to go back to that episode, what we had yesterday, to know that beyond God saying something, beyond you acclimatizing and familiarizing yourself with what God has said, beyond opening your ears to what God has said, and beyond the belief, it does not end there. It actually does not settle it. So we are going to continue today.
Now, viewers, thank you again for joining us on this knockout series. Now, don't forget, we are on the knockout series on prayer. And it was Jesus that led us to the fact that we shouldn't be talking about prayer until we talk about what is missing in the place of prayer. And that's the issue of faith, as actually stated in Luke chapter 18. And so far, we've actually looked at aspects of faith. And then we came up with a notion using the scriptures that, quite contrary to what most Christians believe, faith and unbelief are not just two opposite ends of a spectrum. In actual fact, we've noticed from a lot of instances that involve Jesus himself, that you can actually have both faith and unbelief. And we saw that unbelief nullifies faith. And up to yesterday, we've been looking at the sources of unbelief. Where did it come from? How does unbelief penetrate into our soul? And we've looked at lots of instances and different scriptural references that actually points to all the sources of unbelief. And right up to yesterday, from where she was referring to, we ended up with Abraham's life. And we saw how Abraham didn't just believe God. Abraham took conscious steps to ensure that unbelief didn't encroach into his life. The Bible says he refused to stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. And that's where we actually did stop yesterday. Now, today, we are making progress from where we stopped yesterday. And what's our focus today? Don't forget, the reason why we actually began to look at all these unbelief things was because in Matthew 17, Jesus Christ told the disciples, the reason you could not cast out the devil is not because you don't have enough faith, it's because of your unbelief. And Jesus Christ told them eventually how to deal with it, how to cast it out. But like we've been saying, we cannot even cast out what we don't know how we actually came into our lives. And that's where we stopped yesterday. Now today we are moving to a different focus today. And the focus is, when unbelief actually comes into those sources that we've actually enumerated up to yesterday, how do you know if that unbelief is at work already in you? What are the symptoms? What are the things that you can say, well, I can see that? Yeah, that's an evidence. There's unbelief. That's what we're actually focusing on today. Don't forget, ultimately, we're going to how we have to cast it out. But so today, we're going to look at that. How do you know? What are the symptoms? What are the things that happen in your prayer life? What are the things that happen to you in the place of prayer that can make you say, that's it, that's unbelief at work? And that's what we're going to use the scriptures to actually highlight today. And when we do that, then we can know beyond there how to deal with it. So quickly, let's make progress. Let's look at James chapter 2, verse 20. Don't forget, We are trying to pinpoint what are those symptoms, what are those things that you see in your prayer life that actually highlights the fact that that's unbelief already working. It has already come in. It's already encroached in. What are those things that we actually have to take note of? James 2, verse 20. Let's start from there and we'll see what the word of the Lord has to say. James 2, 20, what does it say then?
But without that faith without work is dead.
Now, what it's simply saying is if faith is at work in you, it will be obvious. Now, that's what he's trying to say. Let's say that again. If faith is at work in a man's life, it will be obvious. There will be things that actually we actually demonstrate that the man actually does have faith. So, what James is simply saying is, if a man does not have faith, there will be no corresponding action. And if a man has faith, there will be evidence to show that he has faith. For example, I'll give you a case in the life of Jesus in the flesh when he was actually healing people and delivering those who were oppressed of the devil. There was a time he was ministering in Luke chapter 6, and the Bible tells us that they opened the roof of the house, and so if four friends dropped down their friend, and the Bible said something, Jesus saw their faith. It means that faith can be seen. If faith is at work anywhere, it will be evidenced. It's a matter of time, it would show up itself. Faith cannot hide for long. Jesus saw their faith. So James is telling us here that faith is something that always shows up itself. It always provides evidence for itself, and we know that. So one way we can know, then, it means if unbelief has encroached into the life of a Christian, what it does, it weakens the faith, it nullifies the faith, and the very first thing we notice is actually it also nullifies the corresponding action that should come with the faith. And then we're going to see this from the scriptures. Now let's go quickly now at different instances of unbelief producing some symptoms, or you can say symptomatic signs of unbelief. Now let's look at instances in the Bible and let's see what it does to our faith in terms of how it actually shows up itself. I'm talking about unbelief now. Now quickly let's go to the book of Luke chapter 8 verse 49. Let's see what happens in the place of prayer. Let's see what happens in the place of prayer. Don't forget that Jesus said in Luke 18, he said, God shall answer speedily. But it says, when the Son of Man shall come, shall he find faith on the earth? It says, so we should, again, stop being concerned about how God answers prayer. He does it speedily. But it says, the problem is our capacity to receive from God. And what nullifies our faith is unbelief. Every Christian actually does have faith. We've said that before. Look at Luke 8, chapter 8, verse 49. Now watch this. Again, we're looking at those evidences that actually demonstrate that unbelief is at work in our faith life.
Now
watch that.
While he spake,
good.
That comment run from the ruler of the synagogue.
Now again, before you go on, so that our viewers can connect to this. This is the case of Jairus. This is Jairus who actually sent forth for Jesus to come and heal his daughter. And Jairus was actually on his way, bringing Jesus back to his house. And we could understand that a woman with the issue of blood actually has caused some kind of commotion. So at the moment, Jairus with Jesus are on their way back to heal his daughter. So that's the context of this story. So watch what happens next. Now go
while he spake, there cometh one from the ruler of synagogue house,
okay,
saying to him,
okay,
thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master.
We've already established, please go and check out our previous transmission where we said unbelief comes through what you listen to. So here was somebody giving Jairus the news and saying, well, you are on your process of actually laying hold of Jesus, but sorry, the thing is actually getting worse. So now watch what they're going to say next.
Verse 50.
Yeah.
But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not.
No, okay, go on. Now, what did they say before then in Luke 8:49? What did they say?
Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master.
That's the word. That's the word we're looking for. So your daughter is dead. Now, what they're asking Jairus to do is to become inactive. Now, watch the word. Trouble not
the master.
The master. So it means inactivate. Stop demonstrating and stop. That's the word. That's why James told us that how do we know that faith has been nullified in somebody's life? You see no corresponding action. So what they're telling Jairus to do is stop the process. There is no point demonstrating, or there is no point taking any corresponding action henceforth, because why? Your daughter is dead. So we see the first link in a particular event in history that shows that when a man actually allowed unbelief to come into his life, what simply happens is the man becomes inactivated. It means the man stops any corresponding action to his faith. It shows that the faith has been what? Knocked out of the man's life. So we see this place. They told Jairus, stop troubling the master anymore. Now, what that simply means, they said, well, stop Jesus in the process of going back home. There's no point for Jesus to come back home. So that's what happens to people and happens to us in the place of prayer. We claim we believe. What happens is when unbelief encroaches in and nullifies faith, what we start doing is we stop demonstrating every commensurate action that goes with the faith. So we see this, and then if you actually look at it, Jesus told Jairus one thing in the next verse. He says, only what? Believe. And we've said this before. The reason why Jesus told Jairus to only believe. Now, you don't tell someone to only do something if it doesn't mean that something else was going to come and sit down with what they were doing. So Jairus actually had faith because he actually said to Jesus, I know if you come to my house, my daughter will be what? Healed. But Jesus told Jairus, only believe. Don't add anything to your belief. What you hear is going to bring unbelief and you add unbelief to it. And how do we know that unbelief will be added? You will stop Jesus from any further progress into your house. So it means anywhere you see unbelief at work in anybody's life, what happens is they stop demonstrating any corresponding action to what they believe. And that's what we can see there.
Well, thanks for linking those verses together for us, the book of James and this story in chapter in Luke, because actually people thought that the faith of believing is a place of dormancy. In action, just like when you have faith, it's just when you say it, it's just there's nothing, no corresponding action, nothing. But now we could see in that story in Luke chapter 9 that even the people know that there's something with what he was saying. Most of the time, we really don't really put or understand the weight of what we are believing and confessing, that actually actions,
this corresponding actions,
even when we don't even see it, when we just talk, we are just making confession at all. Because what all we could see, the man, the Jairus, was saying to Jesus, come and heal. Just like, one would just take it at the face value to just be a word, just a word of confession. But we can see even the people could judge that there's something here, that you are doing so, you are pulling some things.
You that's believe, what they say, and your actions show that you believe.
Because they were saying you are troubling, that means you are doing something. the people were saying that beyond, but it was, on face value, it just said something, come and heal. They're just making a word of confession, that is it. But people knew you are pulling things up. You are pulling strings, you are disrupting things. Yeah. And that's why they want to stop him. They did not say just stop talking. Trouble not the master. Now they see like you are pulling something beyond your words. It looks like mere words. But now you are pulling something, you are disrupting things. You are making things to happen. So you are disrupting things, and that's why they wanted to stop that action. So we could see that even be at the background of faith confessions, we see active work. Emotion, and that is why they want to stop. So you really have to start looking and having this the right, correct measure and the weight of beyond what you say. That beyond these positive confessions and whatsoever your belief system, there is an action with it. Whether you see it or you acknowledge it yourself or not, it is. And even people can even see it for you. So you know that when you do this, when you say those things, there is an action in place. So we should take our eyes. We should not keep our eyes off that with our words. Comes the action with our belief. There is a action, there is a corresponding. We are disrupting things, we are making a demand. He said, trouble not, because it's like you're making a demand. And he said, please stop, stop doing that.
Now, thank you for that. Have you noticed one thing about the way Jesus heals and the way Jesus delivered in the scriptures when he was in the flesh? And I think for those of us who actually believe in the power of prayer, and for those of us who believe in the authority of the believer, it would be very interesting for you to notice that when Jesus gave instructions in the word to people who were looking out for his power in their lives, he always actually makes sure that when he gives them the word, he actually gives them an opportunity to demonstrate the fact that they believe in what he told them. Now, for example, you see Jesus telling somebody who was born blind, and you tell him to go and actually wash in the pool of Siloam. The question you want to ask is, how would the person even see to get to the pool? Or whatever. And at times he told them, those who were lepers, the 10 lepers, he told them, go and show yourself to the priest. And then according to the law of Moses, if you were unclean, you cannot dare appear before the priest. It's the law of Moses. You can check it in Deuteronomy, Book of Numbers. So for them to actually go all the way to say they were going to show themselves to the priest, they must have believed that what Jesus Christ told them in their lives has already brought the what? The healing. That's why they began to go. I think some people would have said, well, you know what, Jesus, why didn't you heal me first? Let me see first, and then I will show myself to the priest. But Jesus wanted them to demonstrate in action that they believe what he told them. And that's why we know in our lives, if unbelief is at work, if it gets to a point where we claim we believe God for something in the place of prayer, And our corresponding actions are actually showing that we don't even actually think what we actually believe is true. It's an evidence that unbelief is at work. So we see in the case of Jairus, they were going to tell Jairus that don't trouble the master anymore. Or you can simply put it in this way, stop making the journey back to your daughter along with Jesus. Stop the process. And Jesus told us in the last verse that we read there that Jairus only believed, if you stop me from going with you to your house like they advised you, it will show that unbelief has come in with your belief. So we see the evidence in this particular scripture that every time unbelief starts working to nullify faith in the life of any Christian, what happens is they make corresponding actions that actually shows that unbelief is at work. Now, for some people, how can somebody be believing God for healing and deliverance from sickness and yet the person makes preparation for death? Can you see that? For some people, they're praying and they're believing God for a supernatural deliverance from an affliction. But yet, when you watch the action of people, they start making preparation in the opposite direction. And can you see that? That's an evidence that unbelief is at work, as we have seen this scripture.
So we're just telling you, if you're going to take anything from this episode today, one of the things you're going to take with you is to know that the state of believing God is not a state of dormancy or hibernation. Instead, that it comes with action. Mm-hmm. So you cannot just confess without corresponding action in the line, in the direction of what you believe in or what you say. And we see that it runs consistently with some other themes in the scripture, because when you see patience, people think like this is the time to just say it and fold your hands. Mm-hmm. Just believe it and that settles it at all. Well, we find out that it does not. You really need to, you must show actions, just like you must show yourself to the priest. In that way, so as it applies in your own situations, what showing yourself to the priest means, you really need to have corresponding actions to you. We see patience too, like that. You just have to walk. It's not like a state of just folding hands. So the belief system and the faith system is not the time to hide yourself or a state of hibernation. It's a time to move in the direction of your words, in what you believe. So there must be a corresponding action. You need to make the journey to the priest. That you need to wash in the pool of Shalom if you really believe it, and so you have to apply that you were healed.
You got to show the action.
You need to show action. So yours might not just be a pool like that. You might need to just move in the direction. You need to apply it into your situations as it comes. So you really need to move in the directions of what you believe. So there must be a corresponding action.
Amen. Now we look at other testimonies in the scriptures. Don't forget, viewers, what we are trying to do at the moment is highlight those symptoms, the things that actually show that unbelief is at work. Because until we see what the symptoms are, by the time you get delivered out of unbelief, how would you even know you were delivered out of it if you cannot look at the symptoms that actually disappeared? That's what we are trying to highlight today. Now, quickly, let's go to Romans chapter 4, verse 19. We began to look at this yesterday because we're looking at it as a testimony to the source of unbelief. Now, by the grace of God, we're going to look at this Romans chapter 4, verse 19 in a different perspective. This time around as a way for us to decode things in our lives that show that unbelief is at work in the place of prayer. Now, look at Romans 4, 19 and see what Abraham did regarding what God told him. Now, before she reads this, I wanted to take note of the fact that we actually agreed, as we look at the scriptures yesterday, that Abraham did have faith in God. The Bible says, according to that which is written, so shall your seed be. Abraham believed what God said, and he had faith in God. But the Bible did say he didn't stop there. And that's what we're looking at now. He didn't stop there. So Romans 4:19, what does he say then?
And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead.
Okay.
When he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's.
Now the question you begin to ask is, if you look at this, why would Abraham not consider his body now dead? And why will Abraham not consider the deadness of Sarah's womb? Have you ever thought about that before? This is the reason. Now, the fact is, because God told him, you shall be the father of many nations. In fact, let me retract that. God said, I have made you the father of many nations. Not you shall be. I've made you the father of many nations. And when God said that, obviously, Abraham would have to have a child by his wife to be a father of many nations. That you start from one son to two sons, and you have a generation of people. He had to start with his wife. But when God said this to him, when he was up to 100 years old, he didn't have any son, no child as of yet. But obviously, before a man can actually give birth to a son, he had to what? He had to sleep with his wife. He had to sleep with his wife. So the point then remains, Abraham had two options. He could have been inactivated or incapacitated to say, what's the point if my body is almost 100 years old? And according to this testimony, at that point, it means it was unable to produce. And if Sarah's womb was, Sarah was 90 years old and she was unable to have a baby at that stage, Abraham would have said, well, there's no point. What is the point of sleeping with my wife to have a child? But the Bible says he did not consider his body white, so that he still had to go and sleep with his wife. Now that's the point we're trying to make. The reason why the Bible said Abraham refused to consider his body dead is because if he actually considered his body to be dead, if he considered Sarah's womb not to have the capacity to what? To give birth, then there is no point trying for a baby. So for Abraham to actually get Isaac, he still, according to Genesis 17, still had to know his wife. So the point is, what could have stopped Abraham in his tracks in unbelief would be the intention or decision for him to go in to know his wife. So that's why the Bible had to put this addendum to say, well, even God told him that he would be the father of many nations. He still had to make a decision not to consider the state of his body in terms of the reproductive part of his body, because he still had to go in to his wife. So we see that second testimony there from the scriptures, that Abraham had to take conscious steps about having a baby, Isaac, with his wife, as we can see that.
Like you just said, that to show, yesterday we were talking about not considering and not acting to the feelings. So to show that you don't have the symptoms again, you're already ill, because what you said, that we should look out for the symptoms. If we see the symptoms disappearing, then we can have a belief that you're getting healed. So one of the symptoms that you actually are not considering, you're not responding to feelings, is that when we see actions,
yeah,
in the direction of it. So we can, you cannot say and say, I'm not considering what people are saying. I'm not considering what I could see with my eyes and what I could hear from my ears or what I could feel from my body, the deadness of the situation. But you can say all that. If you say all those and we don't see you moving in that direction of somebody who did not consider
to meet Sarah, your wife.
Yes. And whatever the situation might be in your case, because it might not be a barrenness, whatever it is, whatever you say, you are not considering what you see by sight or hearing or feelings. We want to see the actions. We want to see the corresponding action. We want to see action in the direction of the faith.
That's
and that
it.
Is where we can be sure that you are not considering. It's easier said than done.
That's
it's easier
it.
To say, I believe it, God said it, and I'm not considering. How do we know you are not considering? Are you moving in the direction of the world?
Making
so when we see
steps.
The conscious step, and you see you moving in the directions of the world, like in the case of Abraham, going into Sarah, in the case of those lepers, going to show themselves to the priest, in the place of that blind man, going to the pool of Shona,
and
like somebody that is seen. That is said, and the process of Jairus is not making room for barrier.
With Jesus,
so,
let's stop.
Let's stop. And it's not making all these burial rites and processions. He's not talking to funeral directors.
And so, yeah.
And yes, that is it. So if you're moving in that direction, that is when we know that actually you're not
judging. There's no more unbelief.
That you're not judging by your sight, that you're not judging by your sense of hearing, and you're not feeling.
So anybody can say, I don't have unbelief, I have faith. It's easier said than done. How do we know there's no unbelief? We can actually see that you're not making any concession or preparation for anything to the opposite or to the contrary. So here comes Abraham, because Abraham could say, I believe God, I have faith. Oh, I'm a father of faith, and stop there. Well, God said, if you're the father of faith and you believe you are one and you're the father of many nations, can you demonstrate that and have a son with Isaac? Can you go to the bedroom and have a son with Isaac? So the point we're trying to make is, the reason why Abraham did not consider his body now dead and the deadness of Sarah's womb was because he had to take conscious steps about his body and about his wife's womb. So we can see that at work in the scripture. Now let's look at the third testimony of these things that actually bring forth and show forth that unbelief is at work. Now let's quickly look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 11 to verse 19. Now, we're looking at those evidences, that those symptoms of unbelief. Hebrews chapter 3. Now, we're looking at two parts in the scriptures. Hebrews 3 and Numbers 13. We're going to look at them simultaneously.
Okay.
So please, if you can open both of them at the same time, that would be great. Hebrews 3 and Numbers 13. Okay. Now, if you can read Hebrews 3, 11 to 19 first.
Hebrews 3.
11 to 19.
It reads, so
yes.
I swear in my wrath,
okay,
they shall not enter into my rest.
Okay.
Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil act of unbelief,
okay,
in departing from the living God.
Amen.
But exhort one another daily, while it is called today,
okay,
lest any of you be added through the deceitfulness of sin.
I just want to read verse 18 and verse 19. No, verse from verse 15, yes. Okay, verse 16.
For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses.
Okay.
Verse 17. But with whom was he grieved 40 years?
Okay.
Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Verse 18. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not?
Okay, thank you. Now, for the them that believe not, if you actually have my own KJV, is that KJV?
Yes.
This is my KJV says, so we see, okay, yeah, verse 19. Please read verse 19.
So we see.
Now, watch that. Watch that last verse, Hebrews 3:19. Let's take it slowly. So we see what?
That they could not enter in.
Go on.
Because of unbelief.
Well, what would think? You know, when people read this, we can have a kind of notion about this Hebrews 3:11-19. We might end up thinking, oh yeah, what he's simply saying is the reason why God had to punish them. God had to punish them because of their what? Unbelief. That's what we think it says. But we're going to check that context in the Old Testament and see what the issue is. What Hebrews 3:19 tells us clearly, without ambiguity, it says that they could not enter because of what? Unbelief. So we saw that what unbelief does is it prevents somebody from what? From entering. Now let's see what is entering. Was it God actually barred them and said, well, I'm going to punish you because you had unbelief. I will make sure you don't enter. That's how it sounds if you don't read it in the deep context of it. So let's see what actually happened. Let's go to Numbers chapter 13. Let's see what unbelief does. Let's see what it does to the life of a Christian in the place of prayer. How it plays out, how it incapacitates someone in the place of prayer. This is why we've been actually focusing on this issue of unbelief for the past few episodes. About the fact that if faith is that so significant in the place of prayer according to Jesus. And if there's something that mitigates against faith, we should actually consider that thing, really. Now look at Hebrews Numbers 13, please. And let's read from verse 24-33, and let's see this context. Now this is the place that was referred to in this Hebrews chapter 3. So we're seeing the testimony there in Numbers 13 from verse 24. Now let's watch this.
It reads
Numbers 13 from verse 24.
The place was called the Brook Eshcol.
Go on, please.
Because of the cluster of grapes with the children of Israel cut down from thence.
Okay. Go on, please.
Verse 25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40
years. Now, the background is there were 12 spies that were sent out to spy out the land of Canaan. 12 spies were sent out. That's the background. So they're coming back now to give the report to Moses who sent them. Go on, please.
Verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land.
Okay, they showed them the fruit of the land. Go on.
And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey.
Okay, now let's stop there. They simply told Moses when they brought back the report. They said, surely, what you said was right. We saw milk and honey. So that's belief. That's faith. We saw it.
And they brought the fruit.
We believe. We believe what you said now. Because now we can see. Now it's obvious.
And so they even brought the fruit.
They brought the fruit. So it means there's no problem about we laying hold upon what you said. Can you see? We said this before in previous transmission that it's wrong for us to think that just because somebody has faith, they don't have unbelief. That's not true. We're still going to see what happened now. So they believe what Moses said. That's true. We have the evidence to show. And faith, don't forget, Hebrews 11:1 is the evidence of things not seen. So now let's see what happens.
And surely it floweth with milk and honey.
That's true. We believe what you said.
And now, this is the fruit of it.
And this is the fruit, is the result. Now go on, please.
Verse 28. Nevertheless.
Okay, now that's where the problem comes in.
Nevertheless.
That was the fact that I believe God. But you see, just like we said about Abraham, he believed God, but he could have also been considering his body. I said, nevertheless, that's the point. So here, where Abraham passed, these people failed. Can you see the point? At the level of belief and faith, they were at the same level with Abraham because they said, we believe what you said about the milk and honey. We believe
we
that.
We saw that
we believe that. But nevertheless, now let's see what's going to encroach in now. Somebody's going to come in again. Now let's see. Unless we're going to see the symptoms of that thing that's going to come in. And what does it say, please?
Verse 28. Nevertheless.
Okay, nevertheless.
The people be strong. Okay. Dwell in the land.
Now, if you notice, if you're following us through, you can see this is sight. Can you see? We've said before, please, you have to listen to that transmission where we established the sense of sight as one of the channels through which unbelief comes in. Can you see what it said? We saw. I mean, with what we saw, unbelief came in. That's what they're trying to say. We saw that those men were what? Strong. Sense of sight. Sense of sight is a powerful channel for unbelief to encroach in. Now, go on, please.
And the cities are walled.
Okay. Now, we actually did a good analysis. An analysis of the situation. Now, go on, please.
And so, very great.
So, we know at this stage, unbelief has come in to sit on their head. Can you see that? So, again, we can see they have faith. They believe what Moses said about the milk and honey. But also, because they were considering, based on their sense of sight, unbelief has actually come in, as we can see in the scripture. You can see everything is consistent in most of the verses we've actually read. Now, go on, please. Now, unbelief has come in. From what they said, let's see the symptom. That's what we're looking for. Let's see the symptom of it. Now, go on, please.
The city are well and very great.
Good.
And moreover, we saw the children of Anak
okay.
there.
See. Can you see? It's about see, sight. Can you see the point now? Okay, go on.
The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south.
Okay.
And the Hittites.
Now, this is survey. This is a battle survey. That's what we saw. Abraham did not survey Sarah's womb from the Message translation. They're not doing what we call deep-seated analysis. Survey.
Environmental survey. They were even going deeper. You know when you do land survey, land search. Some, you will just stop. You don't even need to do environmental survey.
Okay.
But this one are going further to give environmental survey.
Of the situation. That's it. That's what we said. That's it. The site. Go on, please.
Of the south and the Hittites and
okay.
the Jebusites.
I'm not even sure if Moses knew about all the tribes. We're not even sure if Moses had knew all the tribes. These guys did a good groundwork, a good analytical
analysis
of the whole thing. Good legwork. I mean, go on.
And the Amorites, okay. they dwell in the mountain.
Okay, they even know where they're dwelling. Oh, see, you have to give it to these guys. They really did a good job of analysis, a good consideration, which Abraham refused to do about his body and said, that's womb. Go on,
and
please.
The Canaanites dwell by the sea.
Okay, now they even know the location. Now, I think before Google came into being, before we're going to do internet search on Google, these guys did a very good job of the analysis. They actually, I don't know where they got all this information from, but you have to give it to them. They were very good in the research that they actually did.
And by the coast of Jordan.
But unfortunately, this research is actually bringing in unbelief. Now, go on, please.
Verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses.
Okay.
And said, let us go up at once.
Okay.
And possess it.
Okay.
For we are well able to overcome it.
Okay. Go on, please.
But the men that went up with him said.
Now, watch this. Now, let's not rush this. The men that went up with them. Said. Now, we've established so far that this man already had what? Unbelief. I mean, we've said it because their sense of sight has actually become the channel through which unbelief has come in. So we know this man that we talk now actually have unbelief already sitting down with their faith, as you can see. Now, let's see the symptom. Now, what you're going to hear next are the symptoms of a man that is actually overlabored with unbelief. See what you're going to say next. What does he say next?
But the men that went up with him said...
Those men with unbelief now. What did they say?
We be not able to go up.
Oh, now, please. Who is going to stop them from going? Who is giving the instruction from heaven to say, well, I'll punish you for your unbelief? No. They said, we will not be able. Now, mark the word. I'll take that slowly. They said, we will not. Be able. Now, if you read Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 to 11 to 19 that we read, it sounds like it was God that said, I'll punish you for your unbelief. But the report they gave to Moses is, we would not be able. We have decided not to make any corresponding progress or action with the faith. Now, that's the word we are trying to highlight today. That when unbelief comes in, one way you can notice unbelief is the conscious decision within oneself not to make any progress with what you claim to believe. Now see that. Now go on, please. Read this, please.
For they are stronger than us.
Now, again, I want you to read that verse again. What does it say? That verse again, please.
We will not be able to go up against the people.
We will not. We have decided not to make any more corresponding progress with what we believe. And that's what unbelief does. It is not God saying, I will punish you. It's not God saying, I will deal with you because of unbelief. I'll make sure you pay for the unbelief in your life. God doesn't do that. The Bible says in James 1:5 that God gives without finding fault. But what unbelief does to us, it incapacitates us. it actually makes us to say there's no point making any more progress. Now go on, please.
For they are stronger than we.
So we're not going to go again. So we're not going to make any progress again. So viewers all over the world, what we are simply trying to say today is, when unbelief comes in to nullify his faith, one way you can actually see it at work is the conscious decision not to make any more progress. And I think, now read, just is that the last verse then?
And they brought up an evil report of the land.
Okay.
Which they have searched unto the children of Israel, saying,
okay,
the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants therefore.
Okay.
And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature.
Okay.
And they, and there we saw the giants, the son of Anak,
yep,
which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight.
Okay, amen. So that's the word. That's the word. So now, with this understanding that we have about the symptom of unbelief, that it makes a man to stop making any more progress in terms of what he believes. It makes a man not to execute any more corresponding action in what the man believes. Now, based on this information, let's now go all the way back to the particular event that actually highlighted the issue of unbelief based on what we've looked at in the life of Jesus when he was casting out the devil. Now, don't forget this thing. We are looking at a symptom of unbelief. Now, let's go quickly to Mark chapter 9. Now, we've seen what unbelief does. You